This is Pastor Eric. It's Friday morning, 9 a.m., which means it's time for a Friday morning devotion, and we're going to go back into the Psalms today looking at Psalm 30. Now, it's always important when we come to a psalm that we look at the introduction before we actually get into the text, because sometimes that gives us some insight into what the psalm is about. It basically tells us the context and the historical surroundings. In this case, we're going to look at Psalm 30, and we're told at the beginning of that psalm that, number one, it was written by David, and number two, that it was a song at the dedication of the temple. Now, the fact is, David didn't build the temple. The temple was built by his son Solomon. Nevertheless, David had spotted the ground on which the temple was going to be built. He had staked a claim to that ground, and indeed, he did dedicate that place to the where the temple would be built. What's also important to note as we read through this, you're going to pick up on things. David is writing this psalm really in a celebratory tone because he's gone through an awful lot of hardship. He's had a lot of enemies that he's faced down and had some defeats and then indeed some victories. He's had some, you can think of his previous, before he was king, Saul chasing him and him being on the run constantly, and yet God has delivered him from it all and has made him really the most powerful king that Israel or anywhere else had known at the time. David's power was immense. And so there's a lot of celebration going on in this psalm, while at the same time there's also tension. So let's read the psalm and then let's break it down a little bit and see what kinds of things we can pick up for ourselves today. David writes, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me." There's that theme of his enemies. "O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit." So David clearly is reminiscing about times where, or maybe even a time pretty close to that moment in which he felt that his life was in danger, in which he felt that he had no hope, and yet God has been faithful to him. "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." End of reading. Now, let's note a few things about this psalm as we review it now. First thing I want you to notice, or that you may have picked up on, is that the psalm is clearly written by a real human being. Yes, it's divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit. That is what we believe about the scriptures. And yet, everything expressed in this psalm sounds very much like the kind of pulls that we experience on a daily basis as human beings. There's an emotional ecstasy in God's grace and glory for him, while at the same time, there's a recognition of the hardship and the struggle. So on the one hand, he's going to say, it's like almost schizophrenic in the way that that he writes, because on the one hand, he'll say, "By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountain stand strong." In the very next words, "You hid your face and I was dismayed." And isn't that reflective of the experiences we have? We have these seasons, we have these times in which we feel like everything is going great, and then all of a sudden it feels like God is hiding from us, or the blessings are being hidden from us, and the struggle comes back to get us again. Folks, this is what it means to live the Christian life. I've said this 1,000 times, and I'll say it probably 10,000 more before I die. The Christian life is not primarily defined by being victorious, although that does happen. The Christian life is defined by struggle. There's a battle always happening between the old sinner and the new saint, the flesh and the spirit, as the Apostle Paul calls it in Galatians 5. And the way that that battle works itself out is not just in temptations to do wrong things, but also in temptation to think wrong things and to feel wrong things. It permeates all of our persons, this battle that goes on. And so David really displays that for us in this psalm as he extols the grace and mercy of God and the care of God, while at the same time noting the struggles he's had. Second thing I want you to notice about this psalm, and a good rule of thumb whenever you come to the psalm, something I haven't mentioned as much yet, but I've been meaning to. You should always read the psalms Christocentrically. Now, I know that sounds maybe like a fancy word, and it is a little bit, but it just means we should always be reading the psalms thinking about how this points us to Jesus. Now, you read over the words of this psalm again, you can make a very strong case that these words could be very strong expressions of what Jesus, as a human being, is going through hanging on the cross. Listen again just to the first few verses. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. All those words could be describing Jesus' words after he's risen from the grave. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Now you say, would Jesus be talking about God's anger? Was God ever angry at Jesus? Well, in a sense, yes. Remember, Jesus is forsaken on that cross. He is absorbing the wrath of God against all of humanity's sin on that cross. And so, yes, it makes all the sense in the world that even as David is feeling this way, that Jesus could also be saying the same things after he has risen from the grave. And so on and so forth. But the important thing to note is that we are being not just given a picture of what's happened in David's life, but ultimately we're given a picture of what this says about Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection. We really ought to read all of the scriptures that way. Why? Because Jesus tells us they're all about him. In Luke chapter 24, he tells the disciples on the road to Emmaus, all the scriptures are about me. In John chapter 6, he says the same thing, John chapter 8, to some people wondering, or some Pharisees that were questioning him. The scriptures are all about Jesus, and that includes the Old Testament, and so we ought to read the scriptures that way. But then finally, we've talked about sort of how this applies to David and how this applies to Jesus. But the last thing I want to talk about is, of course, how it applies to us. And how it applies to us on a daily basis. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what your particular night was last night. But you may have been in a situation where you were weeping last night, or to use the language of this psalm, or you were mourning, you were struggling. And, you know, sometimes this time can go on for longer than just a day. I mean, these periods can be ongoing. That's a real thing. But what I want to leave you with today is the hope of what's coming. That even though sometimes it feels like we're in a funk and it doesn't feel like there's any escape out of it, don't give up hope that God can indeed and will one day for certain give deliverance out of the darkness. That even if you feel stuck in the pit with no way out, that God is faithful, and that surprisingly, at times where you might least expect it, God actually turns things around. God is into doing great reversals. This is what we see all throughout the scripture. You see the barren woman constantly given a child and given life. You see death turned into resurrection with people like Lazarus. Now, I say this because, and I say this thinking about those who maybe have felt like they're in the pit and just felt like actually giving up, even those who may be suicidal, thinking about just ending it all. One thing that's striking to me is how often those who have tried to attempt suicide will end up, if they survive it, sharing their regret over going that far and wishing they didn't do it even as they were in the act of trying to kill themselves. Specifically, I'm thinking about those who have jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco in order to kill themselves but have ended up surviving. There's numerous interviews with these people who have said as they jumped on the way down, they were filled with deep regret for giving into the decision. And they were hopeful that they might still live, but of course the chances were not good. Well, some people have still lived. My point is, sometimes we can get so stuck in the pit, so stuck in the darkness, that we're deceived into believing that there's no hope. And what this psalm tells us today and reaffirms for us today, and really all of the scriptures reaffirm for us, is that in Christ there is always hope. That though we mourn right now, we will have joy. Though we wail right now, we will dance. That's the promise of the scriptures. I can't help when I think about David here talking about having his mourning turned into dancing. I can't help but think about, in fact, David actually dancing to the point that he embarrasses his wife. And why is he dancing? Because God has given him victory and brought back his presence in the Ark of the Covenant into the holy city. And David is so overjoyed at God's presence with him that it turns everything around and he can't help but dance. Well, folks, one day that will be true for us as we step into the kingdom of God. Indeed, already we are members of the kingdom of God, and where the kingdom of God is in Jesus Christ, we have reason for hope. We have reason for hope, no matter what the struggle may be. So hold on to the promises he's given. Hold on, he's faithful to you. And if you can't hold on, know he's holding on to you. He is faithful to you. That's really what this psalm is celebrating today, and indeed what I hope you get to celebrate today as you go into your weekend. Have a blessed weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you Sunday morning.